Today's share of Mishnah Berurah Yomi with the Halakha Mishnah Berurah Yomi guys. And we have here the Shana Bet guys. Yesterday was a Shana Aleph for the day. Okay? All right. Here we go. Keeping it alive. Yomi guys. Johnny Weinstein, how you doing? You holding strong? Johnny Weinstein says to me the other day, I must be spacing in the chips, but I think you sent me the same, you sent the same one twice. I did say the same one twice. Just there, I had to reset it because I wrote the wrong date. Okay, here we go. Tuf Mem Hey. And we are up to Sif Beis, and we're in the middle of Sif Beis. It's Tuf Mem Hey. V'im Sarfo Kodem Shah Shishis, or Sarfo, I don't know if the correct Hebrew, last of Arnold. If you burnt the chametz before the sixth hour, meaning before it becomes Aser Bahana, Hareze Mutter Leanos Bepechamin Shelo Beso Chapesach, then you're allowed to get hanah from the coals during Pesach. Why? Because since you burnt it up to a nice crisp before the time the chametz becomes Aser Bahana, it's no longer a chametz, and therefore you can be neneh from that coal and use it and cook with it and, you know, smoke with it or do whatever you want with it during Pesach, because you're not being neneh from chametz on Pesach. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. He says, Sif Katan Yud Aleph, you could be neneh from the b'chamin during Pesach. Le'enos the b'chamin shalom. Why? Sharei chametz lo neser az b'hanah, because then the chametz won't become aser b'hanah. Oh, sorry, the chametz then, before shashishis, is not aser b'hanah, and therefore there's no problem. V'hu adin shemutter b'shah chamishis, and the truth of the matter is, during the fifth hour, you'd be able to even do what, if you wanted to. You'd be able to go ahead and be nene during the fifth hour with that chametz, libashal bo ushar mine anos. What could you do? You'd be able to go ahead, let's say you're burning that chametz during the fifth hour. You're burning it up. So you know, normally you're not allowed to go ahead and cook with chametz. No problem cooking with the chametz. So you can go ahead and the whole Madura. So what he's saying here is a chiddush. He's saying, when we go ahead and we burn up our chametz before Pesach, before Shas Isser Hana, if we wanted to, you could go ahead and take a hot dog and, you know, sit there doing a what? Doing a burning of your chametz and cook up your hot dog. Because what's the problem? You can be nene from the chametz until Shashishis. But he says, Achein aminag lasoso Madura b'fnei atzmo. The minhag is not to go ahead and make a campfire and make hot dogs on when you're burning up your chametz, even though it's before the Shas Isser. But you should make a separate fire to go ahead and burn the chametz. Just for what? Just for burning chametz. Afilu b'shach chamishis. Why? Because you might, chas v'shalom, think that, you know, let's say I have chametz left over after it's already aser b'hanah and I'm burning it. You think you can go ahead and take a hot dog and go ahead and light up a hot dog with the chametz that you're burning. That you can't do, because then you're going to be neneh from the chametz. So therefore, the minhag is not to go ahead and be nene at all. So the truth of the matter is, I didn't know this halacha, and you know what I always do? And I'm very upset at myself. I go ahead, and every year, I take my grill that I use all year long, because I need a good fire, and I want to kasher it for Pesach. So I say, well, where am I going to get a good stark fire? I'm going to go, and I'm going to burn it up, and right? I'm going to burn it out, because most of the time, I can get an area, that's no chametz there. I'll get some good fire, and then one of the ways you kasher a grill is if you can burn your grill to get all white and ash, so then it's kashered. So that's what I do. But here it's saying you shouldn't do that, because you should use it just that fire, that madura should be just for burning of the chametz. Because chas v'shalom, you might go ahead and use it, and then if you go ahead and use it, right, I would never go ahead and do such a thing if it was after Shas Isser, because I might be nene from the actual chametz itself, because maybe there's coals there or whatever from the chametz. But noagin l'strof also b'chatzer v'lo bakira, and the minag also is to go ahead and burn up your chametz outside and not in your oven, and that's what we do. We go outside, we find a nice place, and we burn it up. You go into Ramat Beit Shemesh, and all the people are burning their chametz on middle of the streets, and it's like crazy. Okay, anyway, nice big black splotches in the middle of the street every year. They want to go ahead and they want to, you know, figure out what to do, so they bring these big green cans to go ahead. But everyone anyway just goes overloads it and it ends up going on the street. Haven't figured it out yet. One day, Mitzvah Hashem. But Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael, you have black marks on your streets because of Mitzvah Bir Chametz. Can't get better than that. Anyway, Sif, Mitzvah Hashem by you. Sif Katan Yud Beis. But before we get to that, we got to continue on in the Shulchan Aruch. If you go like this, Aval im safo misha shishis ulamala. But what happens in a situation where the chametz is around after the 6th hour? Again, it shouldn't have been. Arminah gets the burner before the 6th hour, but you fry chametz. It happens, and you're burning your chametz. Right? Let's say you didn't get to it, and you're burning it in the 6th hour. So it's a problem now. Hogel v'hu aser bahana. Once the actual chametz has become aser bahana, because now it's the 6th hour. Hareze lo yasik bo tanur v'kirayim v'lo yavashal. At that point, you cannot go ahead and let's say you lit up the chametz, and now the chametz is on fire. You can't go ahead and use that chametz to go ahead and light up an oven, right? Tanur v'kirayim are different types of ovens. V'lo yavashal, and you can't cook a hot dog on it. You can't go ahead and like, oh, I got a nice piece of chametz, make a nice fire. I'm gonna take a hot dog and I'm gonna cook it up on there. Can't do it. Because it's already usher by another chametz. You can't be nena from the chametz by burning it and then using it to cook or to start a fire and start a campfire. Can't go ahead and make a nice campfire. I'm gonna go ahead and like warm myself up. Can't do it. Then bishel o afa. If you did go ahead and cook or bake with the chametz, also a pas, that bread that you cooked up, but also a tafshil. Again, pas doesn't necessarily mean chametz. You know, pas, you could have pas that's, you know, especially, you know, Shulchan Aruch was Sephardi, you know, so you have to go to a nice Taimani pizza matzah fest. Okay, so they're that's how the Gemara, you know, if you have one wonder in the Gemara, or we had earlier, how chametz can get mixed up with bread and not know which is the chametz and which is the bread, because you can make pizza that's not chametz, that looks like regular pizzas. And they're all mixed up. You don't know which is the chametz, which is the regular pasta. Again, you have here, you went ahead and you baked up bread, meaning matzah, or any type of dish or chunt using chametz. You got some powerful chametz there. Asurim, you're not going to be able to eat that bread or that tashil. Asurim, it's going to be asur bahana. It's going to be asurim bahana. That bread and that chunt is going to be asur bahana. Why? Because since you cooked with the chametz, so now when you're eating that dish or that bread, you're being netted from the chametz. Okay, well, let's go slow. So now he goes, look at the Mishnah Berurah. Sifkot and Yudbeis, Asurim, Bechulek. The Afal Gav Dizev is Goyrein. Now there's a principle called like this, that when we talk about, if you have something that's Asur Bahana, that goes ahead, let's say, and creates some type of Isser, right? But it's only if that Isser Hana is the sole source. There's a principle called Zev Zeh Goreg. If two things are making something, then the item doesn't become Asser to be Nana from. So here, he says, seemingly, you should be able to eat the bread. Why? Because it's not only the fire that's making the bread, it's also the oven. It's two things. It's the oven and the fire. So he says, even though this is Zev Zeh Goreg, Shatanahu Shel Heter, the Tanner is Mutter, the Eitzim, meaning the fuel, the Hainu Achameitz, Shall iser, and therefore it's not, the bread is not coming solely from where? From the chametz, it's coming from the oven and the chametz. Ever kaimelon, and we normally say bialma, zev zeh goreim, that we have a zev zeh goreim, literally it means this and that are causes. Again, it refers to any object generated, right, or produced by a combination of two factors, one permitted and one usser, one mutter and one usser. So it's not going to be usher. And the basic shaila in the Gemara, where Zev Zeh Goreim in the Gemara, and the Avodah Zarah basically concludes that the object that is caused by the Isser and the Heter is going to be Mutter. So why don't we say Mutter here? It's a shiny hacha, because if you think about it, what's the Iker here? What's the real thing that's cooking it up? Not, I mean, the oven is like a nice container, but the Goreim ha'etzim, because the Goreim of the Eitzim, the cause here of the actual fuel, which is the Chametz, okay, that is the goreim ha'etzim shel iser. This chametz, which is the fuel, which is the aser, which is like the equivalent of the etzim here. Shebahen ha'pas nefes. That's what is baking the pas. That's nikar yoser. That's obviously much more apparent. V'nira shivchan le'einayim, and you can see much more readily the improvement that it affects in terms of the bread. Based on the wat, based on the fire, based on the fuel, which is chametz, more than the oven. And therefore, kamo chad goreim, who is considered as if, what is the goreim What is the goreim of the bread? The goreim of the bread is the chametz alone, and not the oven, and therefore, meaning the chametz, which is the fuel that was being burnt, and therefore you'd not be able to go ahead and eat such bread. And he says that even at the moment when he put the bread into the oven, kvar nefach hachametz ligachalin, the chametz already was what? Was already cold. Let's say what happens as follows. He burns this chametz when? After Shas Isser. It now became a coal. And it's now pure coal in the oven.
Or ashes.
We'll get to ash in a second. Okay? He says, it's pure coal. Oh, afilu, he says, Will says, le'efer, even if it already got to what? To hot ash, cham. And nefa ayadan, meaning it, the chametz is still not, even the chametz itself is not expanded. A lot of times, for example, you can have it burning. Let's say you have whatever chametz you have there burning. So you have part of it is like charcoal-y, and the other part is burning from what are you using as a fuel? The actual chametz itself, it hasn't yet become a coal. Only becomes a coal after it's been burning for a while. She says, not only if you're heating up and baking the hot dog or the bread or whatever it is, does that hot dog or bread or whatever, or matzah, become usher to eat when you actually had the chametz that was still extant, that was still around burning. But even if it already turned to coal and already turned to ash, once the chametz was already usher, and then you burnt it up, you can't be neda even from its ash, even from its coal, okay? Gam kein usher, why? Sharei b'chametz gam gicholim ve'afarin usher. This is a whole big, if you remember from last year, of Chaim on this, by chametz, the difference between chametz and other isurim, achogos, or Yehudim, chachamim, or Chaim, go check it out. But anyway, but the bottom line is, the chametz, by chametz, even it, when it turns into a coal, and it turns into ash, after the chametz is already usher, you're not allowed to get hanah from its coals and its ash. You see, if you burnt it up before Bishas Heter in the fifth hour, then when Pesach came around, there was no longer chametz. But once it already was what? Chametz, and now you're burning it, meaning it was already usher, b'hanah is chametz after Shas Isser, then even the Efer and even the coals are mamish usher b'hanah, and you couldn't go with it. And he says, v'kevet shapas nefa michumam, since the pas is being cooked from its heat, minkar shivcham b'pas, you feel its okay improvement from the coal in the bread itself, kamo be'etzim, like from wood. Va'afilu, and now he says an unbelievable chumrah. Va'afilu im garaf ha'efer, even if you scraped away the ash and the gecholim, the afa, meaning, let's say you cleared out all the fuel, all the chametz fuel, but the oven was still hot from the ash, from the coals. And then you baked something on there. Practically you can put like an egg there and make a side up in there. Okay? Even if you did that, the afa ubishel neged chomer levad, gan kein oishim. Yeah, imagine. In the old days, like the ovens, you ever see ovens that use real, like, live fuel. So what's your live fuel? Your live fuel was a chametz. And it was all burning up. He had coals there. And he scraped it all off. And now it's still hot. But there's no chametz there. All there is the oven. But it's still hot from the chametz that was burning in there. And then you go in and crack an egg and make yourself a nice sunny side up. It's according to these, he says, Gam kein oishim kam ha'achronim. There are achronim that aser hapas va'tavshil, such matzah that's made in there, or any type of tavshil, like I said, the sunny side up egg. Ma'ayim the berhalacha, check out the berhalacha regarding more on this. Sif katan yud gimel. So we said that pas, or that tavshil, is aser bahana. And he says, now another halacha. Va'afilu in the sarev ha'pas. Exactly like I said it before. Let's say this pas, i.e. matzah, which is, let's say, like a pita, a kosher Pesach pita. Let's say that got, okay, this pita that was cooked in the oven, which is now usher, got mixed up with other kosher Pesach pitas. So you have this pita that was baked in an oven whose fuel was what? Was chametz. And now it's usher to eat. And then it gets mixed up with other kosher Pesach pitas. Okay? Or let's say it was whatever it was. The Yisrael side ups got mixed up with the other kosher Pesach side up eggs. Right? So he says, Afilu Misarev, Apasmik, Yikaras, Acheres, Ba'edon Nikr, and you don't know which one is which. Kulan Asuras Ba'ana. They're all Asur Ba'ana. All those pitos Okay? Let's say one pita that was baked with chametz fuel got mixed up with 9 kosher Pesach pitas. They're all asabana. One sunny side up egg that was cooked with chametz, that was baked with chametz, it gets mixed up with other sunny side ups, they're all aser. The ain lo takana lahatir pas otav shel zeh al yidei pidyon demei hanas chametz. And he says here that you will not be able to go ahead and fix this by, let's say you want to go ahead and you want to be nene from the lot, you want to be nene from this pitas. So what are you going to do? So there's a move that we've seen previously where what you could do is just be podeh that which was asa bahana on some other coin, and then you're going ahead and what? And then you're going ahead and you take that coin, you throw it, you chuck it out, and then you can eat the whole thing because you were podeh that amount. In other words, you're not being nene from that chametz because guess what? That chametz you lost because you chucked it on when you went ahead and you were podeh the chametz on some other coins. You can't do that. You can't go ahead and be podeh the amount that the chametz was worth onto coins and then chuck the coins. You'll go ahead and throw those coins away. That's what you can do, for example, if you have avodah zara that's also bana that gets mixed up, you can do shtick like that, but you can't do it with chametz. One of the differences between chametz and avodah zara, ian shir. Let's move by there. The kasul achronim. And achronim, right. The yeshol kolpanim, there is one move you could do. Let's say your pita that got baked with chametz gets mixed up with other toshel pesach pitas. So what can you do? You're gonna have to chuck all those pitas? Can't eat those pitas. He said, look, this is what you can do. Dainu sheyinake demei anoas hachametz shehisik bo atanur midemei apas v'atavshil shenot del menak. You know what you can do? You can go ahead. Oh, sorry, I skipped the line. Because of the Chorin, the yesh lakabon of the Chorin, kor apas la'akum, chutz midemei iser shebo. What you can do is the following shtikaru. Instead of, which we can't do, you can't go ahead and flip the chametz onto coins and chuck the coins, but what you could do is, you could sell the bread to a non-Jew, all the bread, chutz midmei yisr shebo, except for the what? The amount, okay, of hana, of the isr that's in there. Meaning, let's say, within this whole mixture, okay, the amount that you would be nene from in terms of chametz is X amount. One time. Or even less than that, because it could be the chametz within even that piece of the hana of the cooking up the chametz. Tahayim, look what he says. Shiyinake denei hana es chametz. You're going to go ahead and you're going to subtract the amount of the hana of the chametz. Shehisik bo atanur. Right? That you went ahead and you heated up the tanur. So whatever that would cost. In other words, however much it was worth it for you to go ahead and use the chametz as fuel over regular wood or whatever, so that you subtract from the overall amount of what you're selling it to the guy, and therefore you're not being nene from the what? From the chametz, because you're just selling everything else except for that. Okay, as he says, right now you can't go ahead and be nene from the chametz itself, because it's not butel. Okay, you can't, right? So that you can't do. But what you can do is you can sell it to a guy, the whole thing, and then you're not being nene because you're subtracting that amount. That's what he says. As he says, what you do is you subtract the mayanas chametz shizik bo atanu with mayapas from the amount of the bread. The atav shil shenodil, that amount that you're taking from the guy, you subtract the amount of the anas chametz. The nimtza she'enu nena klal mayach chametz shizik bo, and you're not being nena at all from the chametz that you used as the fuel. However, he says, rak sheyizayer lefarer hapas kodim sheyipirenu la'akum. He says a following thing: you have to make sure before you sell such bread that you would go ahead and do what? You would go ahead and break up the bread into pieces before you sell it to the non-Jew. In a place where people go ahead and they eat bread of Goyim, so it could be that the guy will then go ahead and sell the bread to who? To a Jew. And if you sell the bread to a Jew, the Jew is going to be nene from chametz. And that's not good. So therefore, what you do is, when you're selling this to the guy and subtracting the amount of the anas chametz, make sure you sell it in a way that he won't be able to resell it. And this is what he'll just keep it for himself, and eat it for himself for
breakfast. Demlo yifar chayshinan. That's what he says. If you don't break it up, we're chayshay sheyachzur v'yim kereni liyisrael. And he's going to go ahead and sell it to a Jew, and the Jew will be netted from it. And again, we said it's not bogdel. Vafilu below nisari pas o tafshil zeb ba'acherim gam kein yesh takada zu demechira. He says, and even if he says, even if this pas did not get what mixed up with others, you'd be able to go ahead and also use this shtick to go ahead and sell the bread minus the hana that he got from using chametz to fuel the bread, to fuel the oven, as opposed to if you use something else. However, there are yesh misha osar im lo nesarva. There are those that don't allow this shtick. They only allow this shtick if it's like gets mixed up with others, with other kosher pieces of bread. Uvemakom hefseid meruba. I say other kosher pieces of kashla pesach bread, i.e. matzah. Uvemakom hefseid meruba oshasat chak yesh esbo chakel. If there's going to be a big hefseid meruba oshasat chak, then you could be so mech lahakel. I don't know how that's going to be a big hefseid meruba. I guess you got a monster pita that's like worth millions. Okay, no, but that you can always be. I said you're always going to be mekel. He's saying even if it's that bread itself. Okay, yeah, it's just about, I guess that's like, you're very poor. You know, it's an expensive piece of bread. Who knows? Or it's an expensive, or it could be that one, it could be an expensive chult you made. Not that bread. It could be, you cooked up one big, huge chult worth 600 shek, you know, so, and it's a big hefse maruba for you. So that's what you could do. You can subtract the hana that you're getting from using the bread as fuel as opposed to other wood. Again, not all by this hector, what the issue is, Ian Shear. Later, the chain, we continue on the Shulchan Aruch. The chain apechamin, shalom. Asurim behana, hoil usrafo, achar shenesar behana. And he says, not only is the chametz asur, as we said, but even the what? Even the coals are going to be asur behana, since he went ahead and he burnt it up after it became asur behana. Sifkat and Yedalin. V'chein ha'pechamin. So, he's saying, the Shulchan Aruch had said, similarly, the coals left from the burnt chametz may not be benefited from. So, look what he says. V'hu adin Ephron, the kanayim el. Same thing applies to the ash, as we said before. V'chein asur l'schamim eitel ha'pechamin o l'nos l'oro u'kai gamna. And therefore, it's usher for one to go ahead and warm himself by these coals or to benefit from the light or anything of the sort. Berlach discusses benefiting from the flames produced by these coals. And he says the same applies to the ashes. One cannot clean his garments with them. Anything similar to that. However, it's permitted to cover using the ashes, the blood of a shchita of a chaya, since the principle is mitzvahs lav le'al nosnet. No mitzvahs were not given in order to benefit. And therefore, the idea of this concept of mitzvahs lav le'notninu is that mitzvahs were given not as a means of facilitating one's personal benefit, but of fulfilling one's chiyuv to Hashem, and as such, one can use a forbidden object to perform a mitzvah, and it's not considered being neneh from it. We move on. Sif katon test vav. V'chein ha'chamin shelo, wrote to lomar shel chametz. What's this? V'chein ha'chamin shelo, asurim ba'na. So he says, that is, he's referring to the coals of the chametz. Rotsa lomar shel chametz. V'im nisarev b'chamin shel chametz, im b'chamin shel etzim, shesarfu bo es ha-chametz, asur le'anos mikulam. So again, he's saying, ha-b'chamin shelo, meaning its b'chamin, meaning the b'chamin of the chametz. And therefore he goes on and he says now, but what if the coals of the burnt chametz became mixed with coals of the wood, meaning with the regular fuel? So you have the b'chamin of chametz got mixed with regular wood, shesarfu bo es ha-chametz. Right? You have wood here that you use to burn up the chametz, and now it's all mixed together. Asur l'anos mikulam. It's going to be asur to benefit from all of them. V'einam b'teilon afil be'alav. It's not going to be batel in 1,000. Sharei yesh lehem heter ana b'lo bitl, because there'll be a heter ana without bitl. How? Daniel ha-shosan ala achar Pesach, to wait until after Pesach. V'dava sheyesh lo matirin lo batel. And anytime there's a heter later, we don't apply the principles of bitl. Now, it's important to note the basis for the reason why it's not batel over here is different than earlier when we said in Sif Yud Gimel, when we had a case where Nisarif Pas Bikikaros Acheros Ve'eno Nikar, when one, let's say, pita that was
chametz that got mixed up with, let's say, 9 or 10 pitot that were not chametz, were Pesach dip. So there, we said it wasn't batal. Why wasn't it batal? Because that's a separate principle called the davar of chashivus, where a loaf of bread is not subject to bittul based on its significance. So you will learn about this principle more later in Tuf Mem Zayin, and we'll see there in Sifkatan Sadi Beis and Mishnah Brura discussing the whole idea of how a loaf of bread is not subject to bittul. Why it's not subject to bittul? That's a separate principle because it's a separate loaf of bread. But here we're talking about the principle of davar sheyeshlo matirin. Now, davar sheyeshlo matirin is a general principle in the halachas of bittul, where the halacha is that, in general, something that will be mutter later by itself will not become batel right now, utilizing the principle of bittul berov. Now, normally, when we talk about Pesach, we do not say that the principle of davar sheyeshlo matirin applies. Why? Why do we say that? So, Be'er Halacha explains as follows. Normally, again, when we say davar sheyeshlo matirin, we'll say something like, for example, mukta that gets nisareh on Shabbos is not going to be batel berov because it will become mutter anyway after Shabbos. Pesach, there are two reasons why we generally do not say that Pesach is a chametz on Pesach is a davar sheyeshlo matirin. There's two reasons. One reason, and you're going to see that both of those don't apply to our case of ashes. Ashes will not have the halacha that davar sheyeshlo matirin doesn't apply. Why is davar sheyeshlo matirin normally not applied to Pesach? So one reason is that the reason why chametz in general is not considered davar sheyeshlo matirin is that it is, in general, us to keep chametz until after Pesach. You're not like keep it around anyway until after Pesach. And that's us to do. So you can't go ahead and apply davar sheyeshlo matirin. We'll keep it around till later and don't let it be batel now because you're not allowed to keep it around till later. And that obviously rationale doesn't apply here where there's no real iser in keeping the ashes around on Pesach. Again, you can't go ahead and be nene from it and because it already became usr, but there's no issue to keep it around. Another part is like this, that in general, we don't say that Pesach is a davar sheyeshlo matirin is because it really is not becoming mutter forever after Pesach, because it becomes usr to chametz again the next year. Masha ein kein, that doesn't apply to ashes or coals of chametz, which is not roi l'achilas kelev. It won't become usr again the year afterwards on Pesach. And the only reason why it was usr, we said again, on Pesach now is because they were edible at the onset of Pesach, right? And that's, again, what we're talking about here is that these coals of chametz got mixed up with the coals of the other wood that it got burnt with. So you can't be nene from any of it because it's not batel, because it's a davar sheyeshlo matirin. Keep it around because this is no iser of bal yiraya anymore on it because it got burnt up. You burnt it. You burnt it to a coal. We continue on now. Sif Gimel. Kodem zman isura yochol ashlicha b'makom sha'arvim mitzuyim sham. Before the time that chametz becomes aser, one is allowed to go ahead and cast one's chametz into a place where ravens, okay? B'makom sha'arvim mitzuyim sham, a place where ravens are commonly found. Let's look at the Mishnah Brura here on this. Kodem zman isura, tef zayin, u'lachar zman isura lo mahani shi'afkiro. This is because after the time that it has become aser, it doesn't help to render it hefker once shashishas comes, as in after shashishas, because sharei belavachi hoti akasav mishuso va'aser ba'ana, because the Torah already removed it from his possession and asked him to benefit from it. So rather, what is he lechayiv lashbiso ulamaro? He would be chayiv to remove it and eliminate it. Once again, chametz on Pesach, which is essentially worthless since it's usher to have any benefit from it, should not really be considered one's property in the first place. The fact that it is even possible to be over by Ra and by Yamatze, we've said this numerous times, is because the Torah treats it as if it's yours, since you had to get rid of it, so it treats it as if it's yours to be over by Ra and by Yamatze, and as such, actually, declaring it Hefker at that point adds nothing, since the Torah anyway places it within one's ownership. It would still be considered one's property to be over by Yeram, by Yimatze, and to be chayiv to eliminate it as tashbisu, mitzvah tashbisu. If, however, one had pronounced one's chametz hefker before the time of the iser, this would indeed be effective in avoiding the isurim of owning chametz during Pesach. Once again, you know, whether or not you're over actually by Yeroya already at Chatzos, or only you have the mitzvah of tashbisu, that's the subject of a machlokes. Right, many hold it. All you have is the mitzvah tashvisu at that point, and by Yerah isn't until the night.
From Rashi, it's Mashmi Reyav Bal Yeroi Bal Yimatzeh Yerech Chatzos. But regardless, it's an issue to keep it around already at Chatzos. And it also already becomes Asa Ba'anah, Midah Rabbanan, as we said, at the end of the fifth hour, in the beginning of the sixth hour, where once again, you no longer be able to go ahead and be Mevatel and be Mafkir, the Chametz, at the beginning of Shah Shishis. So, but again, we're talking here, this is before this Manasir, so let's say up to the sixth hour, in the fifth hour, what you can do is you can go ahead and cast the Chametz into a place where ravens are commonly found, and what you do is you assume that the ravens, that the birds will eat it. He says, check out earlier, check out back there. So that's why Sivav, check out back there. Shetaknu the das kamachronim v'dinze einu el berchov shu makom hefker v'lo bechatzero. We quoted there the opinion of a numerous achronim that this halacha is applicable only in the street, which is a hefker area, but not in a chatzer. The Mishnah Brura Ramah there brings up a basic stira between the Ramah raises a stira in the Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch there writes that one cannot leave chametz in one's courtyard, relying on ravens or other birds to consume it. Here, however, he writes that one even throws one's chametz into such a place. So the Achronim, the way they deal with the stira is by suggesting that the Shulchan Aruch here is referring only to someone who throws his chametz into a hefker area, like a street, whereas in Taf Lamed Gimel, he was discussing someone who throws it into his own chatzer. Now, so the Achronim point out that this whole formulation implies that one really has to actually remove the chametz from one's property. It's not enough to pronounce chametz hefker and leave it in an area on one's property where anyone can take it. And therefore, this is where Rav Moshe and the Shevet HaLevi paskin that even chametz placed in a private garbage can should be destroyed when the time of Isser arrives. Okay? Since even though it has effectively been declared hefker, it still remains on one's property. It has to be, you can't go ahead and leave it on your property again, even before the Shas Isser, because it can't remain on your property the Shas Isser. This happens often when, you know, when people go out to go burn their chametz, they don't burn everything, they'll just throw it in their garbage on their property, which is problematic, according to these poskim, for sure. The Shulchan Aruch continues on and he says, what happens if you threw it out to the birds in the street, and then you find it, the birds did not eat it? He said, even though the area is hefker, you shouldn't leave it there. Rather, you should go ahead and destroy it. What's this all about? Why? If he was mafkir and threw it into a makom hefker before this man of Isser, why should he have to go ahead and destroy it? There are those who want to say that even the Shulchan Aruch holds this. Ella demayri begam naachrina. But rather, he's talking in a different scenario. Aimei Magen Avram, check out the Magen Avram, the Chak Yaakov, the Shar Achronim. So what do they all say? They understand the Shulchan Aruch to be referring to someone who throws his chametz into his own chatzer and not into a hefker area. So then according to this, the wording of the Shulchan Aruch, Afal Pi She'amakom Hefker, should not be understood to mean that the area itself was Hefker, but rather the Chametz is thrown into a place where the Chametz would be Hefker, that anybody wishing to could come and enter the area and take it. Nevertheless, since it's in his possession, he's obligated to dispose of it. Obviously, these Achronim clearly disagree with those that we quoted before, the Mishnah Brura and Moshe Feinstein, and all those where we have pointed out that they hold that the Shulchan Aruch is actually talking in a case where it was thrown into a street, and that's why it's very difficult. They don't understand why it should be a problem once it's thrown into a street and it's a makom hefker and they were mafkir it. Anyway, so he says, even if he did leave it in a place which is hefker for all, but he must for sure render it totally hefker, both verbally and mentally. So even if you're not, you know, again, we're not assuming like a Shulchan Aruch, anyone will actually leave it there. It has to be sure that it's really a total hefker, verbally and mentally. He cannot have and did not intend at the time of rendering a hefker in the street to go ahead and reacquire it after Pesach. Because if this was intention, then it's not going to be hefker gamur if someone else does not come ahead and take it, or the birds don't eat it, and for some reason you want to have this delicious bird food after Pesach. Again, why you actually care if you're just throwing stuff out to the birds?
Pashas, you wouldn't. Pashas, it would be a totally good hefker, and you don't have to worry about it. As we see, these Achronim all learn, seemingly connected the Shulchan Aruch, the Pashas of the Shulchan Aruch. Again, once again, there are those that understand the Shulchan Aruch not to actually disagree, but the Pashas of the Shulchan Aruch is disagreeing with the Balaman Halacha, as we know it, that if you throw the bread and things before Shas Isser into the street, it will be after a gummer, and you do not have to go ahead and do beer on it when Shas Isser comes.